Fáilte Rath, we're continuing with our referendum coverage. All indicators pointing towards a no-no vote. We're going to speak now to Senator Tom Clonan, who advocated a yes-no vote, but primarily concentrated on the no in the Kerr amendment, not on the basis of the women in the home provisions being removed, but on the basis of what was to be included of supporting families providing care in the home. Tom Clonan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Colin. Just to clarify one thing, I didn't advocate a yes-no. I only commented on the care referendum. I didn't comment on the family referendum at all. And so I just commented on the care referendum to explain to people why I had to vote no as a parent and as a carer.
Just on in terms of where it goes from here, presumably, and you've been out saying it's a good result from your point of view. But in terms of where it goes from here, what are you looking to happen?
Okay, so my reaction to it is that I'm relieved because the wording as set out by the government was toxic to the rights of disabled citizens and carers. It was a Tory wording, redolent of Margaret Thatcher's infamous 87 speech, "There is no society, only families and the ties that bind them." And this was an absolute cut and paste from conservative Tory policy to put the onus of care on families without state support and to deny disabled citizens the right to live independent, autonomous lives in society, in the economy, in the culture. And can I say, Colm, I just want to thank all the people, the great people of Ireland who came out and vindicated the rights of disabled people, like my son, and all of the disabled people who made special arrangements, who tried to get into polling stations and with their carers and got out there and voted. This is a huge moral victory for disabled citizens and carers.
And to the advocacy groups representing carers and people with disabilities who advocated the yes vote, what do you say to them today if they're feeling down about the failure, I suppose, of the campaign to have the word care and the role of carers inserted in the Constitution?
Well, look, there's a great deal of dismay amongst the community of disabled and carers. I have to be honest about that. A great deal of distress and dismay when a number of NGOs who purport to advocate for disabled citizens actually endorsed a wording that would subordinate our fundamental human rights. But having said that, I think this is a watershed moment. I think the narrative is changing around disability. We're outliers in the European Union in terms of a lack of legal rights for disabled citizens, for treatments, for independent living. And I know your guests in the studio, they're there. I know each of them. I've met them and they're good people. And the amount of, even though this was a very, I suppose, a debate that was dominated by the yes side, I have to tell you that the only experience I had as we campaigned for no in Leinster House was one of collegiality and,
In fairness, there was a 50-50 clock run in broadcast debates and that was scrupulously done. And,
I'm just saying, in terms of the overwhelming weight of support,
in terms of resources and public representatives.
RT has been, and actually all the media have been scrupulously fair in this. But look, I want to work now, and let's. This could be a moment of inflection for disabled citizens because their conditions are so abject in Ireland. Like with disabled children not getting surgeries in Temple Street and Crumlin. We have disabled people who are homeless, who can't get care supports, with neurodiverse kids all up and down the country who aren't getting educational supports. We have to step up to the plate now and legislate, human rights-based legislation like my disability care bill. I'm going to introduce new legislation in the coming weeks that will give disabled citizens the legal right to the care and supports outside of the home. And I hope that my colleagues in government will listen to the people of Ireland and support me in that and not amend it or try to destroy it.
Can I put something to you? If the government is, as you assert, minded to cut and paste what you characterise as a Tory text into the Constitution, why would you have faith then that legislatively they would support any of the provisions you're arguing for? And might it have been a missed opportunity, as the Attorney General was arguing that it was likely under the text of the proposed amendment that there would have been litigation and that courts may well have decided in favour of vulnerable people in hard cases were that to go to court.
So I'll deal with that in reverse order. The idea that disabled families and citizens would take cases against the state, and I was appalled to hear, you know, ministers invite people to do that. That's what breaks families. Like, we're a community of people who struggle. In fact, I'm actually at home now caring for my son. I'll have another family member come and take over so that I can go to Dublin Castle this afternoon. Where in the name of God are we supposed to get the resources to take the state with its deep pockets to court and have families broken in that way? What we needed was a wording that would guarantee, and the word would be shall or will support care in the community. And that's what was recommended by the Citizens Assembly and the Joint Oireachtas Committee. In terms of whether the government will support my legislation or legislative moves to give the disabled citizens the legal right, the political reality is now clear to them. For the first time in the history of the state, they now see that disabled citizens have clout. Over a million people All right. have voted yes, have voted against, and have voted for disabled rights. And that's a new political reality. And any TD or senator who tries to object to rights-based legislation that I introduce, well, they will have to face the electorate later this year.
Okay, Senator Tom Clonan, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon. Peter Burke, what Tom Clonan is talking about there, if the government was sincere in trying to look after people who are providing care in the home, if their intention was to strengthen the hand of the line minister to provide better services, what's the next legislative plan then to provide that, to show that your intentions were honourable and not one of putting the burden of care back on families?
Well, I think we have a number of measures. Obviously, we have €2.9 billion in the budget for 2024 in the context for disability services, which is very important. It's at a record level. Our strategy runs up to, I think, 2026 that we're supporting to really ensure that they get more support. We're absolutely understanding and reflective of communities right up and down the country, the amount of care that goes on that they have not the supports that they need. But we're doing as much as we can trying to increase budgets, which are demonstrated by the figure I said.
I know,
and also ratification.
But budgets, I suppose, are
the Taoiseach has committed to persons with a disability. That's important that life is breeded into it through the Oireachtas as well. So we will work with Tom, obviously, in all these measures. I think that's very, very important.
Okay, the budget is a discretionary way, clearly, to deal with it. But what about moving towards a more rights-based approach where people like Tom Clonan's son, who on attaining the age of 18, are treated as adult citizens able to vindicate their own rights independently of anyone else in the family?
Persons with a disability in the UN Charter, it's important that action is taken.
So the optional protocol will be signed up to, will it?
The Taoiseach has committed that in relation to legislation in the Oireachtas and ratification before this referendum. So we have a lot of work to do in that regard, but we are putting record budgets in. But I do appreciate for Tom and families. I know in my clinics every single week I have cases that I advocate for people either trying to get carers allowance, trying to get domiciliary care allowance, trying to get additional support. It is a battle and I understand that, but government is trying to do its best from the pool of resources it has, and it's up to the Oireachtas to vote and give that funding to communities, and we try our best to do that. But I fully accept, and I want to really say that I am absolutely listening to the electorate on this. They made a judgment and a determination,
right,
and potentially it was like two questions in the care referendum in terms of duties in the home and in terms of obviously codifying care in terms of the forms it takes.
All right. Eoin O'Brien, your party leader, committed to running our referendum with different wording should this one fall. What's the plan on that front? Is that still the commitment of your party? And what have you learned from what appears to be the likely result in this referendum to take cognizance of what Tom Clonan and people like him are saying?
Well, firstly, just to say, I think Tom played a hugely significant role in this referendum and certainly his arguments and arguments of other people like Rosalie McDonough, for example, had a huge impact on me and people in the party. And Tom is right about a watershed moment, because referenda aren't just about changing the constitution or not changing it. They also can be a catalyst for change. And I think we absolutely need, particularly on foot of the rejection of the carers' wording, we need to seize that opportunity as a moment and a catalyst for change. So that means we do need to go back to the Citizens Assembly report and recommendations. We do need to ask ourselves, what what is the best way to enshrine the rights of people with disabilities, both in the home and in the community and through independent living, whether in constitutional change, in legislative change, but also crucially in policy and budgetary change, to give people with disabilities and their carers the support to empower them to live fully independent lives. We had a private member's motion to discuss these issues just in the last week. So I actually welcome Tom's intervention today. Let's make this the catalyst for change that's required. If that requires, for example, a referendum, not a rerunning of this referendum, you cannot rerun referendums, the people have had their say. But we are now almost a decade since the Constitutional Convention made a set of recommendations in terms of enshrining social, economic and cultural rights in the Constitution. I think it was 2014, both in terms of health, in terms of the right to housing, in terms of the rights of people with disabilities. People have had their say on this proposition and this very weak proposition. I do think there's an argument to say, notwithstanding that, are there better ways to enshrine the rights of people with disabilities and their carers in the Constitution?
You say Rosalind McDonagh and Tom Clonan had a huge impact on you and on others on the party. A huge impact to the point that you would take the wording they were hoping for because it didn't persuade you the first time.
Well, no, if we had had our way, the wording of the Citizens' Assembly would have been put to the people in this. We made that very, very clear. We've always argued that the wording that the government brought forward was too weak and that they should have listened to the Citizens' Assembly and should have listened to people like Tom Clonan. I think the challenge for us in opposition was once government had decided unilaterally to proceed with the very weak wording, we had to work out whether some change was better than no change. Having said that, I mean, I went into the ballot box yesterday deeply conflicted on that ballot. And ideally, I would have liked to have two votes. I would have liked to have voted yes to remove the outdated and sexist language from the Constitution. And I would have liked the opportunity to vote no for the very, very weak language on carers. Ultimately, however, because we can't rerun the referendum debate, the people have decided, let it be that watershed moment, let us support Tom's legislation and let us do right by people with disabilities and their families and carers, not by words, but by action and by investment and supports and services.
Marie Sherlock, what about the other part of that referendum, the women in the home element of it? Do you favour another crack at this in a referendum, or have the people spoken in your view and that's that?
Well, I think, you know, from the many conversations that I had on the doorsteps with people over the last number of weeks, it's very clear to me that the focus is very much on the care element of that change to the Constitution and not on the reference to women and their duties in the home. And I think when you talk to many women, and I must say this is where I fundamentally disagree with Senator McDowell, I think many women out there find it grossly offensive that we have a provision within the Constitution that talks about women's duties in the home and the neglect of those duties if they work outside the home. The reality is this state has never supported women to stay within the home. And in 21st century Ireland, we need to recognise a situation where women can work outside the home if they so wish, and indeed many have to because for economic reasons. So I think it is it's a sad day for those who've been campaigning over many decades to get that sexist language out of the referendum. But the reality is that it was tied to this provision on care, which ultimately only looked after a very specific set of people who are cared with for within the family, and ignored the reality that there is many people with a disability in this country who want to live an independent life in the community. And none of that was reflected in the wording that was before the people yesterday. It was reflected in the wording from the Citizens' Assembly. It was reflected in the wording coming from the Joint Oracles Committee on Gender Equality. But the government ignored that. It's a reflection of the government's arrogance as to whether the state has any responsibility to those who need care in this country.
If the government was as arrogant as you say, they were as arrogant as when they decided to put this before the people in the way they did as they are today. So why did you back them?
I made it very clear, right, that ultimately when given the decision is some reference to care, a very weak reference to care and striving to support it, I'm going to back that relative to having no provision at all. The reality is when we wake up tomorrow morning, there is still no reference to care in our constitution. There's no commitment, weak, good or otherwise, about whether to support it or otherwise. And the reality is there are families, and every week as public representatives, we deal with families that have been so badly let down by this government, by the state. I hear Peter saying the government's doing its best. It's not. There are families dealing with years of waiting lists to try and get supports, being refused the few the domiciliary care allowance, not being able to get the carers allowance that are available in this country. So there are huge issues with regards to what the state is doing to those who are caring and those who have a disability. And the reality is that we need to ensure that they are looked after. And to the point that was made there about a watershed moment, this needs to be a wake-up call to government now. That we can't just inflict a wording on the people and expect that they're going to be happy with it in terms of something. We need, the government needs to come back with comprehensive wording that will actually meet the needs of people who want to be cared for in the community and those who are cared for at home.
All right, Peter Burke. Just before we get to the care thing, the women in the home part of the referendum. That's going to be still there the day after. What's the government going to do? It highlighted a number of issues with regard to lone parent families and other issues that they wanted to see reflected in the constitution. But in diagnosing what changing the constitution was supposed to solve, what can we expect to see legislatively in the rest of the lifetime of this government to address some of those issues that you spotted?
Absolutely. I think we have to respond in terms of budgetary measures. Obviously, we have to support independent living to a greater extent. We have, as I said, a record budget of 2.9 billion euro. Irrespective of what the panels say, the reality is that carers allowance, respite care, has had additional increase in income thresholds and also had additional support in terms of monetary budgets put behind it. But I know it's not enough. And I know that coming as a constituency-based TD who is meeting people every single week at my clinics, but we are making changes. We are making progress, but it is too slow. And I understand people's frustration in that. But the reality is, how are we going to respond now? We respond through policy and budgetary measures, because obviously we are where we are in the political cycle. It's going well through in terms of the government's tenure. So I don't know the capacity in terms of to do any other changes other than policy and budgetary change.
Okay, a couple of listeners have been in touch. The narrative that suggests that people didn't know what they were voting on is demeaning. We knew well what we were rejecting, says Peter in Wicklow. And another texter says it's very disingenuous of the opposition who supported a yes vote to now blame the government due to the wording. And those texts coming in to 51551. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.